Welcome to the Get Radio podcast, a weekly roundup of news, events and conversations from the radio. On this week's show, we have Dr. Hannah Yellen from Brooks Uni talking about the fantastic Creative Industries Festival. We have Natalie Casey starring in 220 A Ghost Story at the New Theatre. Wonderful conversation with her. And an extended chat with Stu Foster about the 20th anniversary of the Whitney Music Festival. It's all on the Get Radio podcast. It's Get Radio Breakfast, and really looking forward to catching up with my next guest. We're speaking to Stuart Foster from Whitney Music Festival. Stu, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm really good. I always look forward to this point in the year because Whitney Music Festival has literally just released its lineup for 2026. And it's a special lineup. There's extra bits and bobs, and it's a very special year. I've led you up that garden path. Tell us more, mate.
Thank you. Well, obviously, it is our 20th year. It's obviously a very special milestone for us. And then when we say 20 years, yeah, some people might go, hang on a minute, that's not 20 years. But it is. We started in 2007. Do the maths. It's 20 years, but we actually count the lockdown years because we actually did things. So when we say 20 years, it's 20 years of music that WMF has stood for. So whether it's via the pubs, via online festivals, or obviously the big festival itself, it's 20 years. So we established ourselves as 20 years, and hopefully growing even stronger.
Yeah, and with that in mind, a 20th year celebrating it, of course, the lineup feels like a big celebration of that. There's some amazing bands on there. Just cherry picking and just go through who we've got come in and why they're there, basically.
Yeah. Well, the big one is actually it's a bit of a change for our system. On a Friday night, we've gone for the big one, which is Fun Loving Criminals, which is arguably the biggest band we've ever had in Whitney. So I'm absolutely stoked for it. Well, the whole team are stoked for it, and hopefully the rest of Whitney are as well. So that's going to be a bit of a special one, and really happy. We had a negotiation with them maybe a couple of years back, but didn't quite work out, and so really happy it's happened. And actually, it's probably better now. It's on our 20th year. Brilliant. So that's happened on a Friday. Been supported by amazing 11-piece. Drum and bass. But a hip hop band as well. Called Massive Scar. That's not drum and bass. What I'm talking about this morning. Dub Catalyst, and yeah. they're insane, absolutely insane. So certainly we're going to bring up the energy just beforehand. And got people like Gina Lana returning. We've got the Zoots, who are like a 60s. 70s as well, but like a reimagination of the mod scene. They've been touring around Europe and they're playing back. James, the lead singer, he used to be in Whitney, so back to his home tour.
Returning home, nice.
And then we've got a local artist, Joella. So she's played at the festival before. So original music. So she's opening the Friday night, and then we got the Saturday. We've got even bigger. We've gone for Sandy Tom. I wish I was a punk. I've got flowers in my hair.
Of course.
Well, she's actually playing in the afternoon. So we've gone for afternoon headliner. And she's been supported by, as like a sub-headliner, Beatles Dub Club with the Amaya Dancers, which is, wow. So, if you love the Beatles, most people do.
Yeah.
Apart from one of our committee members doesn't like them, but
don't listen to them.
The Beatles are just incredible. So everybody's gonna, enjoy themselves there. And then we build our way up. We've also got local bands like Lucy on Light and Soul Train. We've gone for Sons of the 70s. Mm. And then we've kind of mixed up with touring bands of locally, as in the Fallers, who are a new band, with Ben Comedy's new band, got the Bear Trap. Just incredible. Leader I've returned, which is wow. Then got again another folk band opening all up called Page and Redshift. We've gone for, again, I said touring bands from around the UK. We've got this lovely artist called Ava Joe. Something something to really kind of look out for. I think hopefully our festival will showcase that. But if you know of, mainly in London, she's like, yeah, sensational. But she's going to be a sub support act. And then we also got, before that, we've got a band called Bobby Dazzle. So she's been using the guise as she is the love child of Justin Hawkins from Darkness. So you think Darkness, but with a female and with a flute.
Yes, yes, you did. Just, I remember that. Yes, yeah, yeah, with a flute. That's the kicker.
Yeah, but she's insane. Absolutely insane. It's going to be like absolutely just wow. She's been supporting like Sweet and all that. And but then our headliner, we've gone for a bit of a curveball. We've gone for a band called Henge. Now, yeah, they are like probably the most bonkers band. Now, and we had Goldie Looking Chain last year, and I just think Henge are even more bonkers. And that's saying something. I'd describe them again using the Darkness thing. Darkness, Cooler Shaker, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, a bit of Prodigy, and you're nowhere near.
Yeah. 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 It's one of these, it's an act certainly at the end that you're going to kind of remember, that you're going to kind of, you're going to see it. And because let's be honest, some people would have heard of Henge and some people wouldn't have. But ultimately, the end goal, you kind of walk away from that festival on the Saturday night and just, and I imagine people just sort of like breathing out, just walking back to Corn Street and what have you, maybe going to get a beer afterwards and just going, and that's kind of the reaction with them, isn't it?
Well, we're pretty much, you know, and we, like I said, we've got complete contrast. So you've got like something like Henge, and then only in daytime we've gone for, they're kind of local, we're cheating a little bit, but they're local and Sheffield, the Lightning Threads, and we love them. They've played before. They've been doing a couple of shows now in London at the 100 Club. Hmm. Lightning Threads, just, yeah, they're playing, I think, late evening, but oh, just incredible. So there'll be bands that you could go, nah, not my cup of tea, but trust me, there'll be music there for everybody. And I believe like Henge are the band that will surprise you the most. Yeah. You know, even if you're reserved and not going for, trust me, go down to the main stage, watch them. If you love new music, you adore them. So if they're bad musicians, you'll go, yeah, don't like it. But they're phenomenal. They're fun. I guess. And also it brings what I think sometimes we've lacked in the music for Whitney. We're bringing like some extra credibility to ourselves. And, you know, all the bands we've had in the past have been phenomenal. But I think what we're doing, we're just going for just the Henge, basically our touring band. They're literally playing at Boomtown. You know, they play at Glastonbury. Unfortunately, they play at Blue Dot, which unfortunately not carrying on anymore. Not because of them, hopefully not.
But that's you've kind of touched on what I wanted to mention about Whitney Music Festival, because look, you know, Whitney isn't the biggest place in the world. It puts on this incredible festival every year with huge support from the council. You get thousands of people on the lees, and it is just the floodgates open to every type of artist. To that thing where you go, oh yeah, I remember them, or oh, that'll be really good. And then there will be that thing you go, well, I just don't know what I'm going to expect it. But ultimately, I mean, the years that we've been doing it and coming down and what have you, I know I've not seen a bad band, whether it be a covers band, whether it be an artist, whether it be Goldie Looking Chain, whether it be a local act, every single one you walk away going, cool, they were good. Well, yeah. That was good. Oh, I really enjoyed that. And to have that in Whitney, it's still crazy.
Yeah, well, it's yeah, like I said, it's special because I think Whitney, it's not just about the what we put on and what, you know, everybody's in their band we bring in. It's also, I think it's something in the waters of Whitney. I think we, you know, the crowd is phenomenal. We, you know, we may complain about things, you know. You may see on social people go, oh, not my kind of band, all that. We do that. Yes, that's part of our nature. But I think when it really comes to it, especially if it's sunny, actually even if it rained, people do turn up. We all just get together and we all enjoy it, and we all just say that wasn't my kind of band or my cup of tea. But I embraced it, and actually I'm now a fan, you know. And like some years back, we had Dirty Moonshine. and obviously well established in around Oxfordshire, Oxford obviously and further field. But in Witney, a lot of people didn't know about them. They came, it was a bit of a gamble for us, and literally I remember a lot of folk coming to me afterwards saying that they're my new favorite band. And that's what we want. Is this case of I like the yesteryear bands, which we always want to support, but it's a case of we'll have to always embrace the future. And like people like Henge, Ava Joe, and like well, we've obviously supported, you know, Gina Lana, it is the way forward. And also locally, you know, like I said earlier on, bands like Leader and The Fallers and Bear Trap who are coming through back again. It's going to be massive, I think.
It's going to be massive, and it's going to be, well, let's say it's going to be even bigger as well, because brand new for this year, happening on the Thursday night, and may I say an absolute genius idea, you got a bit of comedy.
Yeah, well, luckily I'm not on stage.
Yeah, watch everyone go and buy tickets now. Oh, it's not Stu. Oh, right, wonderful.
So I actually, funny enough, it was coincidence. I bumped into a lovely lady outside Part and Parcel, and during the build of our festival, and she goes, "Oh, do you mind if I put a poster up outside Part and Parcel?" I was like, "That's not our place." "Of course you can." And I said, "Just be careful, our poster is a joke." And and we started chatting, and they're from Lone Wolf Comedy, and they did their festival the same weekend as ours. They sold out. So they did phenomenal, and I just spoke to them and said, "Would you want to do something with us?" And they went yes. So absolutely amazing that they're hosting it. So it's a WMF an event. It's on the Lees, but we're using the dance tent. It's all gonna be set up, but it's gonna be capped to 250. Yeah. And we've gone some very special acts via the obviously Lone Wolf. So Andrew Bird is going to be the compare, the host, and also doing a set himself. He's just wonderful guy, wonderful comedian. And then you got Lindsay Santaro, Jack Skipper, who's just when people say massive. Jack Skipper, I know Jack Skipper.
Yeah. Just you can't look. I can't open my phone without seeing something about him on there doing his like phone call or doing his like double character thing. He's massive. Yeah. He's ever just blown up.
Yeah, so we're really happy to have him. Really, really happy to have him. And then we've got Hal Crutterden, who's actually a personal favourite of mine. So when they said, "We've got Hal," I was like, "Oh, my God." And he talks about current affairs, but these guys have been playing at the Live at the Apollo?
Yeah, Live at the Apollo, the Comedy Store, and all these phenomenal places. I mean, it's a great lineup. To do something with the tent, when the festival isn't quote unquote open yet, it is a great shout. That's going to be so good. I guess we need to know where we can pick up tickets and everything. I know that you said that there's a cap for the comedy of around 250 people, so they will go fairly sharpish, and then I guess get your festival tickets as early as possible.
Well, absolutely. So this year we've partnered up with Skiddle to sell tickets, so they're not the nasty buggers pardon me. It is morning, isn't it? My comedy, you see, Ticketmaster. We've gone for those, and it really does help for people who don't know about the festival from outside of Oxfordshire to really come down to support Witney, because obviously more people in Witney, the better it becomes bit for businesses, you know, because they shop beforehand. Skiddle will be selling our tickets. So if you head on to our socials, obviously Witney Music Festival, whether it's Instagram, whether it's on Facebook. We are going to be setting up a TikTok account, but that's for the youngsters, do not for us. And also, if you want to follow our web page, which is obviously WitneyMusicFestival.com. So it will have links off from Skiddle. So we are going to be charging more for tickets. So it's something we had to kind of like chat about. And we believe it's pure value for what we are delivering. So the comedy night is £25. And then on the Friday night, it's so all the early bird tickets are already gone. So we actually offer them all off. So I think they were £10. But they're gonna be £18, sorry, with booking fee.
Brilliant.
And I think it's about £20 and maybe a few pence altogether. And then on the Saturday, it's £25 plus booking fee. But yeah, and we have got VIPs there, but we are going to be obviously advertising a bit more about what we're doing with VIPs. So we're hopeful it's going to be a sellout. And all we're going to do is have to encourage people to buy. You know, like I said earlier on about what is, it's a beautiful place. But I think with local festivals and the smaller festivals, people do tend to wait a bit longer to buy tickets. And as the industry, and as you can appreciate, and you know very for well how industries work, festivals do struggle. You know, obviously the big festivals, you know, people like Live Nations, I think there's four big companies control most of the festivals in the UK, which is kind of a sad affair, really. And a lot of like smaller festivals are falling. So we're hopeful that with our lineup and with the new drive that we are going to do really well, but we do need your support. So please, you know, and we were joking, what can you get for £20? And I said, true if you're going to the cinema. And it's like,
it's so true. And I just want to sort of reiterate as well that actually when you look at it and the festival itself is incredibly cheap compared to any other festival that you will go to. It is still phenomenal value for money. So those people are moaning that the prices have gone up, just take a look around and see how much all the other festivals are, and you'll be paying a hell of a lot more. So it's still cheap, and get your tickets early. Stu, always a great pleasure catching up with you, mate, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Gotcha. Bye-bye.
Oxfordshire Station, get radio.
Well, still lucky enough to be joined by Stu Foster from Witney Music Festival. And we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into the festival because the story surrounding it is incredible. And as we heard from Stu and chatting on the breakfast show and what have you, actually a festival that's been going 20 years is an incredible thing and isn't governed by the big four, that isn't kind of run by huge conglomerates. It is a local festival for local people in the best possible way. Stu, let's go back to the beginning, because the story of why the festival is what it is, it's a remarkable and beautiful one.
Thank you. It's obviously, so a lot of people will know, but see, some people don't know. The festival started up because of my sister, Jo Marie Foster, passed away when she was 21 years old, or young, basically. Heart stopped, so no reasoning why she passed. And like I said, I've spoken to a lot of people before. You know, I think when death happens, people can get angry and lost and don't know what to do. It did take me a little while. I was back in 2005, and I've always been very creative, and Joe supported everything I did with music, not necessarily the music I put on. You know, that's a big thing. But yeah, I was kind of like almost inspired by a passing, but most importantly, a life, and a life that could be. So I decided to make a tribute and do a music festival. Obviously in Witney, and hence called it Witney Music Festival. And put on music like I was saying, music that she didn't really like.
You always gloss over that bit, and I always I always want to pick you up on it, and I'm glad I can, and I've got you here, and I can, because that's the thing that makes you smile. It makes me smile. It makes everyone listening now smile, because like you said, you know. Death is a tragic and horrible thing, but to come out of it and to smile and to do something which is a celebration, but almost the antithesis of that, by going, actually, a lot of the stuff she wouldn't have liked, to be like, I just, that warms me even more for some bizarre reason. And I get, are you kind of, I still, here we are sort of 20 years down the line plus, are you still kind of, when you're booking these bands and you're kind of, you get these people on, in the back of your mind, are you kind of there just going, oh no, oh, Joe would have hated that. No, show all that. That's stunning.
I think, Joe would have been the biggest critic of the festival in a good way. So actually, I don't mind when we have negative responses, because actually, that's kind of the nature of what we do as people, especially with the internet. But yeah, like I say, Joe didn't ever experience a lot of these things. So we got experience for her, and then like for me, obviously I lost Joe, and we were very kind of like cautious to call it Whitney Music Festival, because originally it was going to be called Walk the Line. I was just watching too much Johnny Cash stuff, and
yeah, of course, yeah.
Went to all the pubs down, basically down Corn Street and down to the Palace, the good old days, eh? And then one of my friends, Paul Slamin, who actually started the festival with me, he just suggested, hey, why don't you do a music festival in this kind of guise? And it's the idea of obviously supporting Whitney, but also supporting different kind of genres. And so joking aside, obviously Joe would have loved a lot of the music I do put on, but so we put loads of styles on, and it's the idea just to embrace things. And like over the years, you know, we all lost some people, and bless you know, Lloyd was a big fan of Lloyd Calcott was a big fan of the music festival, and he's there in spirit, you know. Ray always brings down the flag come down, and we put it down, and it's always got Inspiral carpets. It's got the stone roses on there as well, and so it's a flag of music.
Yeah,
that's positive, you see.
Yeah,
and it's. Yeah, it's the idea of you know, when people, I think music is the best way to kind of like release things, you know, whether it's sad, whether it's happy, and that's what hopefully our festival does to people, whether it's in the pub, whether it's on the lees, wherever it could be. People can just reflect on people who have passed, and also the people around by them, because the most importantly is life, you know. And that's what we live for, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And we mentioned when we chatted before that there is such a breadth of music on there, and stylistically, there is literally something for everyone, and that is channeled through you. And I know from previous conversations, not just on the radio, but you know, in a pub and late at night and at the festival and what have you, your love of music is. It transcends to absolutely everything, to the rave scene, to the soul scene, to the folk scene. I mean, I'm going to miss out a million and one genres, and that love of just every type of music. That's a real special thing, because I think a lot of people will go, oh, I like the Beatles, but I don't like them. I like this type of music, but I don't like. Everyone's kind of like, I don't like. With you, it doesn't seem that there is a don't like. It's just a, oh, I've not discovered it, or I've not learned about it more, or I've not heard the right act, or actually, I'm looking forward to finding out more about X, Y, Z.
Well, maybe in the past I was. Maybe, I used to watch that Glastonbury and go, oh, why is not a band playing all that? And it was kind of like that kind of stigma we got into. But now I'm embracing things. Now I actually watched McFly and Busted, my partner, and oh my god, they were phenomenal. Not my competition, you know, not my go-to band, but they were phenomenal. But what I took away from it was something quite special. You know, I was stiff as anything. I was just sitting there next to all these super fans. I'm just sitting like this. Didn't have a clue of the songs. Like, this is good. But I just was soaking in just the atmosphere, soaking in just energy. And that's what it is about music, is you don't have to like it, follow the band. But when it comes to live music, I do think there's something special in it. And that's what I think the UK especially is, we do really well. And that's why I was saying earlier, this is why we have to be very careful of you know, we don't lose them. And because if we lose them, it's gonna be a bit of a poorer.
Yeah, 100%. It is. And I look at Whitney when I moved to Whitney, we knew we wanted to move to Whitney. We didn't know that we would fall in love with Whitney. And why do we fall in love with Whitney? Because it's only a small town. It's not very big, but it has an amazing community. And it is a microcosm for everything that is going on outside of Whitney. And what do I mean by that? I mean that it has a big festival, Whitney Music Festival. It has amazing nightclubs and music venues, And it has a lot of places which embrace music, which embrace live acts, which embrace DJs of all sorts of shapes and sizes. And then you realize that you go down and you go, hang on a minute, you can literally walk around the town in half hour. That's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Well, I think Whitney's, Whitney's come a lot of criticism and about like things are closed and this, you know, and rightly so we should be angry about certain things like this. And people said maybe back 20 years ago, there's more music. I actually believe the opposite. I think there's more music, not because of what we do. I think there's more doors opened. And I think after the lockdown, all these artists basically understand they were playing in a bedroom still, you know, and really harnessing their tools. And I'm seeing music now more in pubs, you know, more thriving in pubs, especially acoustic artists. You know, it's still a struggle. I'm not going to deny that. Yeah. But I think we've got to adapt. What we do is basically, if it's not going on till like 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, it may start earlier. It's basically music for all, and also I always think, Phil, if you feel there's nothing going on, do something, you know, and there's great things happening at Studio 7, you know, and see Fat Lails are doing what they're doing part and parcel. Obviously, well, it could be bars, could do music down there. There's a lot of things down at Langdale Hall. There's now a new brewery opened. Obviously, we've got Crafty Pint. We've got now Scarlet River.
Yeah, exactly that.
It's so many things going on.
Yeah, so many things going on. And I guess to sort of harking back to the festival a little bit. So much has gone on with the festival. I mean, in that 20 years, celebrating 20 years and what have you, and going through the sort of the lockdown era as well, and some from sort of the first sort of festivals, I want to sort of, because I wasn't there, go back to those first few festivals. I'll maybe block it into sort of 5 years and what have you, and just sort of say that how it sort of came about, and what those first few years were like, because that's a huge undertaking to put on a festival. Everyone knows that the first few years of a festival are the most important to see where it can continue or what have you. But obviously, here we are 20 years later. The foundations must have been right.
Well, and the drink was right. So I call it the drunk years.
Good. I'm so pleased you couldn't have drunk years. That's great.
Yeah, that's just true. It was beautiful. You know, people still say, that's what the roots were, the festival. And it was obviously born out of what happened with my sister. But we had the first few gigs, we had one at the Plough. And we used to call it the Loom Room. And there was a touring band. A band who's just traveling around, and they're called the Rachel Gittes Band. And they were playing downstairs. There's no mic upstairs. And they was out in the garden. And they said, do you mind if we join? And it was like, yeah. And it was like this beautiful hippie vibe. So that was probably the most festival you can ever get. Mm. Just that first year. It was just beautiful. It was like they just heard about it and just like turned up in the garden. I think they were staying in Banbury and they came over to us. And I guess it was just beautiful. It was just like everybody got involved. And that to me was a core of what those first few years were. It was like, you know, testing new things. We was at the Red Lion was one of the first years as well, where we had one of the owners, he had the fruit machines going on, and we had these two performers called Tinkle Scuzz, and they were like witches. And they cursed anybody using the fruit machine. Beautiful. It was amazing. You know, the guys found a fruit machine, which shouldn't happen in music. And and these two witches was like, nah, if you do that, you're going to turn into like toads or something, or frogs or cardigans. I don't know. Yeah.
Even just hearing those two brief little stories, you instantly get the kind of the feeling of the festival. You instantly get that kind of spirit, which lives on and is kind of true to today.
Yeah.
And through that, I mean, through the years, the festival has grown and acts have been on and what have you. Can you pick out some favorite moments from that that sort of stay with you? Because I mean, they're beautiful stories in those first few years where you've got like, I mean, that it just, as I said, that it shows that spirit. But I know 20 years is a long old time to sort of pick favorites, but is there some moment that kind of stick out and that will stay with you forever?
It feels like every year feels very much like it's fresh, but it also feels like it's just connected to the last one. And because despite we're getting older, getting grayer and all that, it just feels like it's just this followed on. So I think they all just merge into one. And it does feel different during the festival. I do feel there is a certain, almost we're going back to our roots of being pagans, we've been able to kill people, don't we? We've been able to sacrifice people, and that kind of weird stuff.
Don't let it get to that stage.
That's too many. There's too many.
Yeah,
that's a really bad cop out, isn't it? It's a really bad thing to say.
It's not. But out of that is a beautiful thing because. As always, these things are cyclical and progress. So you go from 1 year and you go, oh, that was brilliant, wasn't it? For that reason, right? Anyway, on to the next year, and you're forever looking forward and kind of and every conversation that we've had, you've always kind of gone, oh yeah, they can't play next year, but actually we got them for the year after. And actually, this band, they're coming through, and they wanted to play like 3 years ago, but we knew that we had them. And it's like, hang on a minute. I see you always sort of ticking ahead and kind of going, I think your mind is already at 21 and kind of going, right, okay, what we got? What can we do? What can happen? And this year hasn't happened.
Well, I think the one thing we have fundamentally changed for the artists, and I think it really did help with not having a lockdown, but because of lockdown, is understanding artists' values, and so festivals, notoriously, artists don't get paid. And then there is obviously a lot of things people don't get paid. But we try our very best to pay where we, how we can, with it being sustainable. We can't pay every single artist. That's a fact. If you go around anywhere, people say, but Glastonbury, you do. It's like, well, actually, no, you don't. It's a case of, unless you're the big acts, you get paid. In small acts, sometimes you have to pay to be there. You have to kind of understand, first, how it suits you as an artist. And people always say it's about exposure. I think artists are getting more exposure by doing what their own self. So a lot of artists have come to me and say, look, we want to play for festival, and I come and say, I would love to put you on, but I can't because XYZ, and they go, no, I really want to play the festival. And that, to me, that's the most amazing thing, because I never want to kind of like abuse the power of what we got, but at the same time, if somebody wants to play, I want to put something on. I want more music happening. So there is a limit. There is a limit what we can put on, because I want to put the best what we can do. But at the same time, I don't want A, hurt the artist, and B, don't want to hurt the venues, because people say, oh, venues make a lot of money. They don't. They really don't. We all know pubs do struggle, venues do struggle, so every penny does count. And but if we all come together, more drink we have, more food. I don't have alcoholic, we can have tea. I've still got my tea.
Yeah, there was a fair bit of tea being drunk last year, I'm pretty sure. But that's it. The beautiful way that this kind of rounds off is it does come full circle. It starts from the community, and even here we are 20 odd years down the line, it's still with the community. It's still with the venues. It's nice to hear that a lot of the venues are still there. They're still putting on music. They're still supporting. They're still collaborating. And for an independent festival that kind of flies its flag and puts something on for that community, it's a beautiful and wonderful thing. You'll probably shudder at this, but here's to 20 more years of Whitney Music Festival and long may it continue. Stu, it's been great catching up with you and just having a little bit more of an insight into what's going on with the festival. I think people listening to this will get a real sense of that community and that spirit. And even if they've kind of gone, oh yeah, I've never been before. I think listening to you and listening to you, the kind of the way that you are and the reasons why you put things on and why the festival happens in this sort of way, I think people will be actually more inclined to kind of go, oh yeah, this is the year we test our feet with Whitney if we've not been there before. So thanks for joining me. It's been a really great chat.
Thank you as always.
It's about that time where we take a look at some events happening across the county over the next couple of weeks, starting off with Zoom's Street Market coming to Tame High Street from the 5th to the 8th of March, bringing street food, artisan stalls, arts, crafts, jewellery and plenty more to the town centre. It's a colourful, vibrant event and a great excuse for a wander, a bite to eat and something a little bit different. For full timings and details on that, just search Tame High Street Festival. And if you're looking at discovering some great food and local makers, another little festival happening, the Dine and Devour Food and Artisan Festival. That's happening on Broad Street from Friday the 3rd to Sunday the 5th of April, bringing together street food, artisan producers, and independent traders for a packed weekend of flavour and creativity. Expect delicious bites, handmade goods, and a lively atmosphere. Just search Dine and Devour Oxford to find out more and plan your visit. And as always, if you're planning an event, tell us about it and we'll tell Oxfordshire free of charge on the radio. Just head to getradio.co.uk, click on Get Local, and fill in all of the details.
Really looking forward to catching up, a yearly catch up as it has become, with Dr. Hannah Yellen, Associate Professor in Gender, Media and Culture. It is the 6th annual Creative Industries Festival at Oxford Brookes University. And we were chatting just off air, Hannah, and saying, well, we've done half of them, which is absolutely wonderful. Morning to you.
Hello, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's lovely to be back for a third time talking about our fabulous festival. This year's, we've got a really good one, really good lineup this year.
Before we get on to the lineup for this year, it seems logical to maybe kind of go actually from let's say year one or when we've been chatting every year, the last sort of 3 years and what have you. Tell us the difference, the expansion and kind of what's been going, because the festival just seems to be growing and growing.
Oh yeah, that's so nice. And it's been such a privilege because I've been able to be really integrally part of all 6 years. So we started during COVID, then it was a totally online festival. Since then, we've made it more and more about what we still have. It's important to say we still have 2 days that are wholly online because we've got this fabulous now global community that aren't necessarily in Oxfordshire, but love to tune into these events. And it is an international festival as well, because having online sessions means that we can have people dial in from Hollywood like we do this year. We've got a Hollywood screenwriter talking to us. But since that first year, it's become more and more a physical community that comes to campus, more integrated with local grassroots creative like practitioners and groups. And that's actually, in honour of that, our theme this year is From Grassroots to Government. But each year we've had these brilliant themes to organise it around. Previous themes were Joyful Resistance, Creative Industries for a Better Society, because so often creative industries are talked about for their economic contribution. And of course, that's important. We've just had the UK government's industrial strategy celebrating how the creative sector is going to be the growth engine for the larger economy. And we've just had Creative UK's report out saying that the creative sector is growing at twice the rate of everything else. But for us, the value of the creative industries is so much more than economic. It's the space where we go to bring meaning to our lives. It builds communities. It's just so much more than its economic contribution. And we wanted to celebrate that.
No, absolutely. And as with all these things, when you start scratching the surface, and yes, you know, everything that we just spoke about, being a driver economically and what have you, but once you get down to the nitty gritty and actually talk about all the wonderful talks and events that you've got going on at the festival this year, I mean, I go onto the website and I sort of read up and see what you've got going on. And there's almost too much going on to talk about in just this interview. There's something for absolutely everyone. Every facet and every conceivable creative is catered for almost.
Absolutely. We've packed so much in. And partly, again, that's a celebration of how rich and diverse and varied creative sector is. So we've got musicians, we've got grime poets, we've got the Hollywood screenwriter, as I said, we've got producers and directors, we've got theme park designers, actors, the list is enormous. We've also got this year, we've got union representatives from the Musicians Union and from Equity talking about the labour politics as well, because of course there's the top down celebration of all that economic growth, but there's also from the bottom up, the stories are different, right? For creatives, it's really hard right now with rising costs and fluctuating income. So we also want to talk about the labour politics. So really excited that we've got the Musicians Union and Equity there. We've got an event on how the creative industries contribute to our understanding of trans identities and, you know, what's sometimes called the trans debate. We've got carnival arts on screen with Trinidadian producer-director Sherry Petty, local music group, kind of pressure group causing a scene. Honestly, I there's so much. There's more than you'll be able to give me time to go through.
And just sort of touching on a few of those, and kind of looking at it from just purely from an Oxford point of view, from where I've stood and what have you, and knowing how important the grassroots are, because that's where it's where everyone begins. No matter whether you're Taylor Swift, who, let's be honest, has probably made it, let's just say that, to someone, just about. But you know, to someone in their bedroom right now, maybe just sort of noodling away on a keyboard or something that has got that song that's going to come out in a year's time that's not even, you know, in its embryo stage yet. Grassroots are the important factors about that, and having those grassroots and setting up everything, whether it be getting the right pay, getting the right situation, getting the right people in front of you, getting the right help, all of those things are ludicrously important.
Totally. And obviously we care about this because we're a university. We care about what's called the talent pipeline, but the grassroots are your talent pipeline, right? If there's a massive and growing disparity between those at the top, your Taylor Swifts, and those at the bottom of the food chain, that's not going to be sustainable long term, right? You are not going to get that. We call it a pipeline. It's the kind of metaphor of people coming and growing and you know, the next Taylor Swift. So it's so important to invest in and celebrate and make it possible for there to be a career for those at the grassroots level as well.
No, fascinating. It's always great catching up with you, Hannah. It really, really is. And I feel like we could chat for forever more. And I think I ask you this every year, and you do very well to kind of big up everything. I'm going to ask you again, because I'm determined to get an answer. But is there one or two things that if you go, right, okay, I can't make the whole week. I've got a little bit of time. I've got a window here that I could potentially make. Is there something or a few things that you go, do you know what? That's going to be super interesting. That's going to be really, really good that you kind of earmark and go, yeah, definitely attend either online or in person.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd say, obviously, I think, you know, the whole thing is fabulous and you must look at the whole program. It's there on Eventbrite. But We're kicking off with an online event at lunchtime. So if you're working, but you can just take a little podcast in your lunch break, in the background, in your ear, really recommend tuning in online, 12 p.m. on Monday, because we're kicking off the festival with a theme park designer and immersive technology executive producer, Lauren Anderson, talking about how she has built these extraordinary immersive experiences and theme park experiences. And I think that's just going to be so fascinating. And that kicks off our whole festival. So that's a nice one to draw attention to. And then if you are in Oxfordshire in person after work on Wednesday, it would be a nice slot to come, because from 5 until 7:30, we have grime poet Debree Stevenson, followed by a wine reception and filmmakers debate on a whole range of things, including AI versus the human touch and telling these stories that don't get told otherwise. And that, I think, is a nice little slot for an after work little jaunt to campus to come and see us. But it really is, you know, jam-packed, 3 or 4 events every day, Monday to Friday, and really worth looking at the whole program, because as you say, there really is something for everyone.
No, there really is. And is Eventbrite the best place to have a little look at everything that's going on? Because as you said, there's a number of different things. Where can people find out most information easily?
Yes, I suppose if you wanted the Google terms, you just search Brooks 6th International Creative Industries Festival or Brooks Creative Industries Festival Eventbrite, and you'll get the full page there with all 5 days worth of events.
Which is exactly what I did, and I can tell you it is there. So thank you ever so much for that, Hannah. Always great catching up with you. I wish you the best of luck next week. I know it's going to be a very, very busy one for you, but it sounds absolutely amazing. And best of luck with it all. Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you.
It's brilliant. Dr. Hannah Yellener, Associate Professor in Gender and Media and this Culture. The 6th Annual Creative Industries Festival at Oxford Brookes starts next week, kicks off at midday with loads of online events. And loads of in-person events, as we've just been hearing about. Make sure you get yourself down if you can.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
It's Get Radio Breakfast, and really looking forward to catching up with my next guest. You'll recognise her from Hollyoaks and 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, and also the wonderful voice of Dinner Date as well, but now starring in 222, A Ghost Story, which is coming to the New Theatre at the end of February. I'm sure you'll recognise her voice. It is the wonderful Natalie Casey. Good morning, Natalie.
Hello, I'm Natalie Casey.
You got me.
I couldn't help myself. Hi, everyone. It's me. Hiya.
Oh, that's superb. I really wasn't prepared for that. I was just going in for a lovely hello, and everyone goes, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, of course. Look, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning and being on the show.
It's a pleasure, absolute pleasure.
And chatting about this. Let's dive straight in with 222, A Ghost Story, because there's other bits we can talk about as well, but this is the main thing. This is what we're talking about. Look, this is a massive play, a new modern play that is really exciting so many people.
Yeah, it is indeed. I think that this is the interesting thing about a play such as 222, like you said, very modern, set in modern times, and is also now been put on the school curriculum. It's such an important piece of art that they are teaching it in schools. Yeah, it's a fantastic thing to be a part of. And also, I think that it's for people coming to the theatre. There are people who come to theatres a lot, and there are people who come for a first time. This is an amazing play as an introduction to theatre, so that people who love theatre can come and see it and love it, but people who have never been to the theatre as well can come and enjoy a real piece of art. And it's a really beautiful thing to be part of, yeah.
Yeah, it really does feel like that, because as soon as you mention the word theatre, and idiots like myself will kind of go at that base level and go, oh, song and dance and this and that. But actually, this, like you say, is that perfect entry level, because it's set in a modern surrounding. It's come from the writer of podcasts. It's very new. And the story, look, it's essentially a ghost story. And that
it is indeed,
of imagination.
Yeah, and I also think as well that you hit on a really good point. You know, a lot of times, a lot of people feel that theatre is not for them. As in, oh, well, you know, they wouldn't welcome me in there. I don't know what it's like to sit in an auditorium. Will I feel welcome? And I'm really glad to be part of a play that, you know, answers that question. Yes, you are welcome. Yes, theatre is important for everybody. And this in particular is a really amazing play that also spans ages of people who want to come. So from the ages of like, you know, 12, 13, people can come and watch it right the way up to older people. There is, you know, fun for all the family. I hate saying that phrase, but it is true. And it's a very important part of being an actor. That's the thing about being an actor. You get to approximate human emotion so that other people can hopefully feel it for real. And to be part of a play like this that is so welcoming to everybody coming to feel that is a really important thing for me. I think that connection at the moment, you know, we are living through a time in human history where we are being encouraged to shun our connections. And that is wrong. To be sat in a theatre in the dark with other people connected to each other and connected to what people are saying on stage, it's a very important part of humanity, I think. So, yeah, it's exciting.
It is. And it's very much a story that you can get engrossed and locked in. I very nearly went down the awful route of getting onto Reddit and reading one of the reviews and going through and picking up bits and bobs. And I stopped myself at the start because actually there's so much going on in this 2 hours. There's so many little nuggets that you kind of have to remember.
Yeah,
to
you don't want any spoilers.
No spoilers here, no spoilers here. But there's an awful lot going on and it just it encapsulates you. And the amazing thing about theatre is it's happening right in front of you.
And that's the point. Yeah, that's the thing. Live and direct. You get a different visceral feeling watching a piece of theatre than you do watching a piece of film. I love film. I love going to the cinema, but I also love going to the theatre. And you're right, with this particular play, there are many, many themes involved in this play. If you love jump scares and you love being frightened, you love making that noise, then you will love this play. But more than that, it is a play that is also about trauma. It's a play that's about our inability to let go of things. It's a play with deep-seated, heartfelt, pulling right at the heartstrings of what it is to be a human being, what it is to feel trapped, what it is to feel scared. And I'm amazed at the response we get from this play. This sounds like I'm blowing smoke up my own wazoo, right? But the thing about this, and we don't want any more of that. The thing about this is, it's an amazing, we get such an unbelievable response every night. I've been doing this for 95,000 years, right? I've done plenty of stuff on stage, plenty of stuff on TV, plenty of stuff with my voice. And I have never had a reaction at doing a bow at the end of the show that I have from this. People stand, people cheer, people cry. And it's an amazing thing to meet people at stage door as well, the way that they have really felt really deeply about this play. And to hold people's hands is a beautiful thing. That's the thing that I'm most excited about being on this tour. I'm excited about traveling around this country and meeting people and looking people in the eye and having a real connection with other human beings. It's what we need at the moment. And I'm really, really grateful that I can do that at this particular point in human history. Connection is important. We can overcome anything. We need to connect to each other. And I'm really grateful I get to do that up and down the country.
You've sort of answered my next question because you've got an illustrious career and you've done everything.
Well, thank you. God bless you.
Even going way back when, and I'm sorry, it's the Wikipedia page and I make no bones about it. I'm going on there.
Okay, Wikipedia is a vital resource. Yes.
Exactly. But even going way back when, are you still the holder of one of the youngest people to enter the top 75?
Listen. I'm going to need everybody listening now to just lean a little closer to your listening devices while I say this. And then as soon as I finish, I would like all of your listeners to just spontaneously burst into applause for this. Well, it won't be spontaneous because I've told you to do it, but
I'll be ready.
Thank you. I am the youngest female recording artist in Britain. I hold a Guinness World Record. Where's the clapping? Thank you. Completely off the cuff. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks. I am indeed.
Well, that's me. But my point was that you have been in this kind of industry, in this this thing they call show, for a long time. But not that long a time. Sorry, and to kind of and to be part of something that is new, like 220 Ghost Story. This is a kind of a new thing. It's the new kid on the block. It's all of this kind of stuff. You feel like you've got the buzz, and this is an exciting thing to be part of. As I said, you sort of answered my question with it. You're probably
this, and I think that I know that you know. A lot of people will believe that what I do is, oh, it's all the coastal elites. And I understand the sentiment, right? However, I feel very, very privileged that I get to look, if you travel back 75,000 years, and you were sat with Neolithic man around a campfire, right? Mm-hmm. And I explained, or you explained what it is that you do. We entertain other human beings, we tell stories, and we attempt to make people who we may have never met feel a thing. They would understand what that is. They wouldn't necessarily understand what a banker is. Mm. So I think that when it comes to creating art, it's a very important part of being a human. And me being able to do this for, professionally now for like 42 years I've been doing this. It never ceases to bring me a sense of absolute joy. And like I said, the most important part of it is being able to transfer that joy to people who are watching you. I am always so grateful when I meet people who love Two Pints or Hollyoaks or anything that I've done, including theatre work. It's such a brilliant thing to be able to transfer that joy to other people. I still love it all these years later. It's the only thing I will ever do. It's the only thing I can do. All I have is my funnies. So I think I'm in it for life, innit, mate? As long as people keep employing me, then I'm in it for life.
That's what a way to end. It's been an absolute joy and a pleasure catching up with you. I felt like
you too. Thank you for being so kind
and wonderful. And look, I wish you all the success and touring around. Have a wonderful time here in Oxford as well.
Thank you.
It's not a bad looking city, so
gorgeous. I want to go full punt. That's what I'm going to do. Someone's going to have to give me some punt tips.
I'm not quite sure if it's going to be open at the end of February. The river might be a little bit cold. Not to put you off. There's loads of other nice stuff as well you can do if the punting is closed, but it's good.
I'm going to need tips. If anyone wants to drop tips off at stage door, I'm going to need them.
I'm sure of that. Natalie, it's been great catching up with you. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.